Welcome to the Rock Church Podcast. This is Amanda. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are a church family that exists to love God, love people, and do something about it. If you would like to learn more about us, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to your app store and search rockc3 for our app. This is the fifth week of our series called Grace, and this week, Pastor Josh explains the importance of recognizing our sin, getting right with God, and being ready for His return. Enjoy the message!
Well, hello, Rock Church. How you guys doing? Good? Man, I love just sitting, or actually I'm standing in the auditorium in Conway, and I see people, okay? That's an incredible thing. I mean, it's been 9 weeks since we've had people sitting in here on a Sunday morning. So, man, thank you for saying I'm coming and joining in. And I know I've got some elementary kids, some younger kids, some teenagers, young adults, and then those of the rest of you who are like me, okay? but so thankful. Just, I have to be honest, I was sitting out in the lobby just watching y'all come through the door, and I was just like, oh, this feels good. You know what I mean? Feels good just to have the family back together, all right? And now I say that, I know there's a bunch of you still watching online, and I want you to know you're still family. I love you, and I'm thankful that you're able to join in that way. I'm thankful for technology that we can do this, but there is just something about the bride of Christ coming together. So I'm thankful that we're able to start that process, and just encourage you and invite you to watch online as long as you want to watch online. But whenever you feel comfortable, definitely if you live in the Conway area, Horry County area, come back and join us at one of our campuses. Would y'all do me a favor and welcome the rest of family who's joining online during the 9 o'clock hour? So today, man, we're going to dive right back into this series that we've been calling Grace. And over the last 5 weeks, we've talked about grace, and we've talked about it from different angles. And today, we're really going to hit this angle of grace where we talk about grace is an invitation that comes with an expectation, all right? An invitation that comes with an expectation. And if you think about that, that's the way invitations always work. Anytime you get an invitation to something, there's an expectation that follows along with it. Think about it. You get an invitation in the mail to a wedding, and there's typically an RSVP attached to it. There's an expectation that you would reply. You get an invitation to maybe it's a bridal shower. Then there's an RSVP, an expectation to reply. We have an invitation as a church that we're inviting everybody who's a senior, whether that's a high school senior or a college senior. If you graduate in 2020, there's an invitation to you on our app because we want to honor you over the next 10 days. So if you're a senior or if you have one, I actually have three this year. Crazy, okay? I have three kids graduating. That's kind of good because one's getting out of college, but Jeff, you understand what I'm saying about the other two? So it's kind of, so just pray for your preacher, okay? But anyway, there's an invitation for graduates. It's on our app. Check it out because there's an expectation of something that you would fill out, all right? Same thing about church. You guys were invited to come back on campus this weekend. But with that invitation is an expectation, right? The expectation is you wouldn't run through the halls hugging everybody and breathing on everybody, all right? We get that. The expectation is if you feel sick, stay home. Guys, we've been preaching that for 20 years, okay? That's normal in life. But anyway, there's an invitation with an expectation. And honestly, the same is true of grace. With grace, it's a free invitation, but there's an expectation that follows grace. And we're going to see that today as we dive into a story. Now, this story is told in two biographical accounts of Jesus. That there's a story in Luke chapter 14 And there's a story in Matthew chapter 22. Now, it's the same story, but I'm going to tell it to you from both angles. And here's why. In Luke 14, there's some great information on the front end. In Matthew 22, there's some great information on the back end. So I want to tell you this story. And in this story, you're going to see how grace is an invitation that comes with an expectation. Again, it's from Luke 14 and Matthew 22, and let me just go ahead and tell it to you. It goes like this. It says that one day, Jesus was eating dinner with some religious leaders and some Pharisees. And as he was eating dinner, as he was sitting around the table, he said, when you hold a party or a banquet or a wedding feast, don't just invite your friends or your brother or your relatives or your rich neighbors. For if you do, then all you will get in return is an invitation from them at a later date. He said, instead, when you throw a party, when you have a feast, invite those who are hurting. Invite those who are crippled. Invite those who are blind. Invite those who are outcast. Because if you do, then on the day of the resurrection of the great banquet, then you will receive a reward on that day. And one of the religious leaders, when he heard that, he said, oh, how great it will be to eat at the great wedding feast in the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, well, in reality, here's a little parable for you. He said, there once was a king who was having a wedding feast, who was holding a wedding feast for his son. And he prepared this great banquet. He killed a fattened calf. He killed the bull, and he prepared it for everybody. And then he said to his servants, go and tell those who are invited to come to the wedding feast. And the servant went out, and he told everyone who had been invited, and then no one came. And the king was upset, and he said, no, go and tell all of those who have been invited to come to the wedding feast. So the servant went back out and he told everyone who had been invited. He said, listen, the king has prepared the wedding feast. It's time to come and to celebrate his son. But one of the people said, well, I've just had an investment and I need to go and check on it so I can't come. And another one said, well, I just bought a set of oxen and I want to go try them out so I can't come. And then another one said, well, I just got married, so I need to go spend time with my spouse, so I'm not able to come. And then some others actually killed the servants who came with the message. At that, the king was furious. So he said to some of his other servants, he said, now go to those who hadn't been invited yet. He said, go to the streets and tell everyone, go to everyone and tell anyone on the streets that they are invited to my wedding feast. So the servants did that, and they found some people on the streets, and they brought them in. But the king said, no, that's not enough yet. Go not just to the streets and the cities. He says, go to the edge of town. Like, go to the outer limits. In essence, he's saying, go to the ends of the earth and invite everyone to come. So the servants did that, and people came, and they filled the wedding hall both with good people and bad ones. And then the king came in. And when the king came in, he saw that the room was full. And then all of a sudden, he noticed one guy who didn't have wedding clothes on. And he said, sir, how are you in here without wedding clothes? And the man was speechless. And then the king said to his servants, bind his hands and his feet. Throw him out into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Whoa, right? Like, a story seems so good. It's this big wedding feast. And all of a sudden it ends with a crisis. You see, the end of the story shows us that grace is an invitation that comes with an expectation. Now, here's what I want to do. I want to take the rest of our time, and I just want to break apart this story. And let's just start with this idea that grace is an invitation. You see, what was really going on in the story is the king, Jesus, was talking to a bunch of religious leaders. And he was letting them know that the Jewish people, God's people, they were invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. That they were invited to celebrate the king's son. So Jesus is telling them this parable, and he's saying, listen, all of you have been invited to the party. That the invitation has gone out, yet many times the Jewish people have said, no thanks. The Jewish people have killed prophets. The Jewish people, the religious leaders, have said, I'm not ready to come to the wedding. Basically, what they were saying is, we do not see the value yet in what God is offering. Go back to the story. It says that they said, well, you know, I've got a new investment, and I need to go check on that. I've got a new set of oxen. I need to go try them out. I just got married. I need to spend some time with my spouse. Basically, in the parable, what we see is people saying this, that the other things in my life are more valuable than actually going to the wedding of your son. Now, that's something that we all recognize. It's something that we all do. Anytime you get a wedding invitation, you make a value decision. You get that wedding invitation, and you see who it's from. You're like, oh, I like those people. And then you open it up, you see the date, and you see maybe it's Saturday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and you're like, do I want to spend my whole Saturday at a wedding? And all the guys are going, preach, please. Right? You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? We make a value-based decision right then. Is the person worth me taking that Saturday and putting it on my calendar, or would I rather go and do other things? And I think we do the same thing with God. I think God is saying, I'm inviting you into relationship. I'm inviting you to spend time with me. I'm inviting you to be in my presence. And too many times when God sends us that invitation, we kind of hold up our hands and we go, well, let me think about it, because my money is really important. And the things that I've just bought, I really want to try out, and I want to use that, and I want to go to the river, and I want to, and we put all these things, or these people in my life, they're important, and I don't know which is more important. And we put other things up against God, and we try to decide, well, which one would I rather spend time with? Which one is more valuable in this moment? And unfortunately, too many times what we do is we deny the invitation of God to follow the invitation of something else in our life that really doesn't hold the value that God holds. Well, in the story, what God does is he says, okay, because of the religious leaders, they're not saying yes, then I just want to go to everyone. Then I'm just going to go to the streets, and I'm just going to send an invitation out to all people. That basically saying, I will not be satisfied until my banquet hall is full. It was like a preacher after COVID, if I could say it that way, okay? Because I've been standing here every Sunday morning talking to a crowd, at least doing a welcome, right? And an empty room. And I remember every Sunday, me and a couple other staff members would go, I can't wait until the day when there's people in the room. Because you my people, okay? You my people. And it's one of those things that I just go, I just want to see the place get filled again. I just want to see it. And it's almost like if you think about the story, the king said, no, I want my wedding hall to be filled with people. And guys, that's what we want as well. And now, we know because of COVID that we've got to take our time building things back up. That's why we didn't start Kids Rock immediately. We got to take some time. But the goal hasn't changed. Guys, let me just make sure everybody hears this, that this church is on mission to love God, to love people, and to do something about it. So the mission of this church has not changed. And we are going to do everything we can to call people into a relationship with Jesus, which means that we're going to be calling people to join us for church, either online or physically, because we want to see this place get filled over time. Now, because of that vision, there's some things changing right now, and you need to know this, okay? That in 2 weeks, we will no longer have a 9 o'clock service here in Conway, okay? And some of you are like, what? All right? Y'all early birds, we're going to ask you to come at 8:30, okay? So just let you know that right now. Not next week. Next week, it's still at 9. But in 2 weeks, on May 31st, we're making a change to our service times. And here's the reason why. It's because we want to do everything we can to get as many people into our facilities as possible who are ready to do that. And we know to make that happen, we need to change our service times here in Conway. And what we're going to do is we're going to go to an 8:30, a 10, and an 11:30. And the reason for that is, some of you don't know this, but our 10:30 is normally standing room only. So by adjusting our service times, what we're hoping is our 9 o'clock people, all of you in here, all of you listening right now, that you'll move to the 8:30. And then our goal is that the 10:30 people, that they will either go to a 10 o'clock or they'll move to an 11:30, okay? So that's one change that's happening on this campus, because we want to see this campus, both now and into the future, be able to service as many people as possible. That's only one change, though. Another change that has happened is our coastal campus, all right? Which I know there's several of you in here that frequent our coastal campus a lot, okay? Our coastal campus is moving to a Sunday morning experience on Sunday, May 31st, okay? So in 2 weeks, we will have a 10 a.m. service at Coastal, all right? And again, why we are doing that is because we want to reach as many people for Christ as we possibly can. And we know that by offering a Sunday morning experience at Coastal, we're going to be able to better serve those who are this gen who go to the universities, but also those who are this gen who go to Carolina Forest High School and the elementary schools of that area. We will eventually bring a Sunday night back at Coastal, but we're going to start right now with a 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings. And then another change that is happening, again, because we want to see the wedding hall filled, all right, is we are moving our Aynor campus into a facility that will mirror the one that you are sitting in right now, okay? So exciting stuff that we had some friends who bought the old IGA in Aynor. And last week, I think it was on Wednesday, we signed a lease to rent out half of that space. And we're going to put a box just very similar to the Conway box in Aynor so that we can reach people for Christ in Aynor so they have a place to attend. Because here's what we know, okay? Especially for those of you who have church background, who've been a part of the Rock for a while. Online is great. I love our online engagement. I love that it can help us further the mission of God, both locally and globally. But there is something missing when you're not doing life with other people. Okay? There's something missing, all right? And COVID has caused this, not just on the church, but many of you know this, that you've caught yourself being separated from others. And if you're an extrovert like me, it's caused you to go insane. Okay? Even some introverts I've heard like saying, man, I need to be around people, right? Welcome to my life. Anyway, but here's what we know is both at Aynor, in Conway, in Carolina Forest area, we need to do everything we can so that people don't miss out on the grace of God. This has been this main verse we've hit every week. We want to be sure that no one misses out on God's grace. So we're going to go to Aynor, and in that box, we're putting a C3 coffee bar and a worship facility with kids space, all right? Because we want to help those in Aynor and those in that direction for the rest of the county and in Marion County. We want them to make sure that we want to do our part to make sure no one misses out on the grace of God. But we're doing the same thing at Coastal, is we've got a bar there right now. The long-term goal is eventually that we would have a box, because we know there are thousands of people there that need Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So we're going to do everything we can digitally through our online campus, but also physically through campuses in Aynor, Conway, and Carolina Forest area, Coastal, so that we can reach people for Christ, because we don't want people to miss out on the grace of God. We want the wedding hall to be filled. And when I say the wedding hall to be filled, I don't mean our boxes. I mean the wedding hall of the Lord in heaven. We want to do our part to fill it. Amen? Amen. You with me there? But here's what you have to understand. Grace is an invitation that comes with an expectation. I mean, even as a church, there's an expectation. If you live in the Carolina Forest area, you live that on that side of the Waccamaw, then the expectation is that you'll help us launch that campus, All right? That you'll say, man, there's people there that need Jesus. I want to do my part to do everything I can to reach people there. That maybe you'll be somebody who says, you know what? I'm going to start going to that service on Sunday mornings because I'm going to help have some critical mass there so that that campus can launch that new 10 a.m. service. That when we start to build out a box in Aner, there's an expectation that you say, you know what? I'm going to come alongside and I'm going to kind of help throw some walls up. I'm going to help do my part. I'm going to get word out. Grace is an invitation that comes with an expectation. That if we want to take grace to people, there's some expectations that we have as a church that we have to fulfill as Christ followers. But I also want to say it this way. Grace is an invitation that comes with an expectation in our own lives. Go back to the story. That the king comes into the room. And when the king comes into the room, you can see, like you can just imagine that his face is just ecstatic, that he's looking around and he's like, dude, look at all the people. I got people in the wedding hall. And he's all excited. Then all of a sudden he looks a little bit to his left and he sees one guy over there without wedding clothes. And he's like, whoa, this doesn't work. Everybody's dressed for a wedding, but this guy over here doesn't have the right wedding clothes on. And you almost wonder when that guy sees the king looking at him, he's like, uh-oh, I should have been wearing something better. You ever caught yourself at a wedding or an engagement or something and you weren't dressed the way you were supposed to be dressed? Guys, that happens in my life all the time, okay? Because dressed up to me is a good pair of ripped up jeans. Like, that's my life, okay? This is the most dressed up I get in life. Normally, it's shorts and a light hoodie, and life is good. That's how I live my life, okay? And when I came down, moved down here, I was like, okay, and trying to do things right. But honestly, I mess up. I constantly catch myself at events where I'm underdressed. It happened one time I went to a young man's wedding. His name's Justin, got married several years ago. And I wasn't performing the ceremony. I was just attending. And I got the invitation. I'm like, yes, I'll be there. And I saw that it was at a farm out in Marion on a nice, just like, I don't remember if it was a fall day or a spring day. But I'm like, it's an outdoor wedding at a farm. So I wore blue jeans and flip-flops. Yeah, you see where this is going. And I dressed up, honestly, I did, because as I was leaving the house, I had a short sleeve shirt on. I was like, I should probably get a button up while I'm at it. So I went inside and got one of my best flannels. And yeah, no joke. So I put that on and we drive there. And again, it's out in the country. I'm like, it's an outdoor wedding. Like, this just probably means casual. And as I pull up, I see some people getting out of their cars. I'm like, uh-oh. I get out of the car and I start seeing people. I'm like, well, this is who I am. You got Josh, okay? And then all of a sudden, my assistant, Leanne, is there and she looks at me. And she looks at my shoes and she's like, and if you know Leanna, you know she didn't keep it to herself, right? Like, she's like, Now, to the point, anytime there's a wedding, she comes to me and she says, okay, Josh, this is the wedding. The groom's wearing this color, so you need to wear this color, and you need to wear these shoes. And she basically makes sure that I have the right outfit before I ever go to the wedding. Which brings me right back to the story. There's a guy there that doesn't have the right wedding clothes on. And I want you to understand, the story is not about him not being properly dressed. I don't want you to read this story and think, well, to go to church, you got to wear your Sunday best. That's not what the story's about at all. You see, what the story is about there is this guy had the opportunity to put on the correct wedding clothes. See, everybody who was there had come from the streets. They'd come from the towns. Nobody came with wedding clothes. When everybody showed up, the king provided the clothes. So the king said, here, just put this on. Or the servants told them that that's what the king expects. And then everybody put the wedding clothes on except for this guy. For some reason, he didn't. I don't know if he said, well, those aren't my style, or that doesn't fit right, or I feel it feels a little tight, or it's not my color, or I don't want to. I feel fine in what I'm wearing. We don't know why he didn't put on the wedding clothes, but the wedding clothes would have been provided for him. All he had to do was put them on. So this isn't about not having the right clothes on. This is about not accepting what the king had offered. And what the king had offered was a transformation of his life. And that's what I want you to understand. See, grace is an invitation that comes with the expectation. And the expectation is that we would put on Christ. See, when Christ came to this earth and he died for us on the cross and he rose from the dead, what he was doing through that act of grace was providing for us a new life, new clothes, the proper attire for the great wedding of the Lamb. And all you have to do is accept that and put on Christ. And if you'll put on Christ, then you're dressed for the wedding. Again, the way to maybe say it is the expectation of grace, the expectation of the invitation is to put on Christ, is to put on Jesus. And you might say, well, how do I do that? Let me just make it real simple. The first thing you've got to do is you've got to recognize sin. That's the very first thing you got to do is you got to simply recognize your sin. In every story that I've told over the last 5 weeks, we've looked at this idea of recognition of sin. That there was a Matthew, the tax collector, he recognized his sin. He got up from the table. He went to his house. A bunch of his sinner friends were sitting around the table with Jesus. And Jesus said, yes, these guys are unhealthy. Yes, they're sinners. Yes, they need me. That's why I came. And people recognize their sin. I told another story about a guy named Simon, a religious leader, and a prostitute, where this prostitute came in and she was washing the feet of Jesus. And Simon said, if Jesus was a prophet, he would know what kind of woman was touching him. See, what Simon was doing is he was making a resume of her sin rather than recognizing his own sin. If you want to put on Christ, then the first thing we've got to do is we simply have to recognize that we're sinners. See, I think it's easy for us to go, well, yeah, I know I've made some mistakes in life. That's easy to say. I think it's easy for us to say, yeah, I know I've made some bad decisions. But what we must say is I'm a sinner. Because see, here's the difference. If I made some bad decisions, if I made some mistakes, then I'm going to weigh those decisions against the consequences that they might have brought in my life. Or I'm going to weigh those decisions or those mistakes against somebody else. And I might say, well, I'm really not that bad because this guy's made a whole lot more mistakes and he's made a whole lot more bad decisions than I have. But when we'll actually recognize that we have sinned, then it's not about the mistake or the bad decision or the consequence here on earth. What it's about is recognizing that I have offended God, that I have fallen short of his glorious desire for us. That's what Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says. It's a very familiar or very famous, verse. It says it this way, for everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Everyone has sinned. We've all fallen short, meaning that we've made a mistake that's not just an earthly mistake, but it's against the heart of God. So we need to recognize that. This guy in the story, he didn't recognize that he was wearing the wrong clothes, that he was like, nope, I'm good with what I've got. So he just went on in rather than putting on the right clothes. You got to recognize your sin. The next thing you got to do is you got to get right with God. You got to get right. Again, Matthew got right with God. The sinful woman, she got right with God. Peter, I talked about this last week, when he recognized his sin and Jesus is talking to him and he's got the sin right there on the table, that Peter recognizes his sin and he gets right. He says, I'm sorry, I love you with remorse. And that we have to be willing to get right. And the way you get right, it's just shown to us in Scripture, Romans 3:22. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. That simply means believing in Jesus, saying that I trust Jesus. Let me keep going. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. That when you trust Jesus, that you can be made right, then that relationship can come back into right standing. Now, when you've put your faith in Jesus, when you believe in him, then that is shown, that is seen in the way that, one, you repent, that you tell God you're sorry. Acts 2:38 says this way, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God. Repent. That means think different and turn to God. And then be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. Baptism is means going down into water, being immersed into water. This is what Galatians says about baptism. It says, and all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ. Like putting on new clothes. Do you see it? That if I will recognize my sin and then I get right with God, and I get right with God by placing my faith in him, and my faith is demonstrated through repentance and baptism. So if I recognize my sin and I get right with him, and then the next thing I simply need to do to put on Christ is I need to make sure that I'm ready. I need to get ready. Simply this, it means if I'm walking in Christ, if I'm living for Christ, then I'm ready for his return because I want to be with him at the great wedding feast of the Lamb. That if grace is an invitation, it comes with an expectation. The expectation is that we'll recognize our sin, that we'll get right with God, and we'll be ready for his return. Maybe another way for me to say it is the expectation of grace. The expectation of grace is to accept the invitation of grace. And the way I accept the invitation of grace is to recognize my sin, get right with God, and be ready for his return. Grace is an invitation that comes with an expectation. And I want all of us to walk out that expectation right now. Whether you come here all the time, whether you're joining us for the very first time, maybe online, maybe in person, whatever it is, that I want to ask you to accept the invitation and to fulfill the expectation. As we move into this time of response, I want you to think about that. What does that mean? It means today is the day to put on Christ. Today is the day to recognize my sin. Today is the day to get right with God and to repent, to start thinking different, to get baptized. Like maybe you're here in Conway right now. Let me just talk to you, those of you who are on campus. That right now I want to challenge you to make sure you're getting right with God. And that might mean that you want to repent, that you want to spend some time praying. And I would invite you, there's plenty of space around your chair, maybe during this response time, just to get down on a knee and just to spend some time praying and saying, Jesus, I want to recognize my sin. Not just a mistake, not just a bad thing I've done. I want to recognize that I have offended you. And I want to have a change in my life. Maybe today's the day that you take that step of baptism. That the baptistry is ready. That we are here and we will baptize you right now. I have some friends. They'll be standing over there by the baptistry. If you want to get baptized, you just go over there. For some of you, though, what you need to do right now is you need to think about taking that step. And maybe for a lot of you, you're at home. And maybe for those of you who are watching online, what I want you to do is I want you to text yes. Now, you can do that if you're here in Conway, but that's really for those of you who are at home, who are watching online. I want you just to simply text yes to say, yes, I'm saying yes to Jesus. Just text it to that number that's scrolling across the bottom. Maybe you're ready to get signed up to get baptized. You just text yes to that number. Because we want to walk this out with you. You know what we're going to do right now is we're going to sing a song. And this song comes straight from Scripture. It's from Numbers chapter 6. And in this song, it talks about the grace of God. It talks about the peace of God. And we're just going to sing this Scripture, okay? It's just a Scripture. We're just going to sing it over you. And as we sing it over you, what I want for you is I want you to realize that God is for you. I want you to realize that God's favor can rest on you. I want you to realize that God's grace can be upon you. I want you to connect with his peace. Because see, in this story, the guy who didn't have the wedding clothes on, he had no peace. that when Jesus, or when the king looked at him and said, hey, where are your wedding clothes? He was speechless. You can imagine his jaw just dropped. And he's like, ah. And then he got thrown out to where there's weeping and gnashing. Basically, what that means is he's thrown out to where there's no peace. And I want you to have peace today. I want you to look at the king and realize the king is for you and he favors you and he's gracious towards you. I want that for all of us. So here's my challenge during this response time. At first, just stay seated. Maybe get on your knees, whatever you feel comfortable to do, but just allow this song to come over you. And if there's a part during the song where you're just like, man, I need to stand and worship, well, then you stand. You do what you want to do. But let's just start with our heads bowed. And let's just think about what it would mean to fulfill the expectation of grace by accepting the invitation. Pray with me. Jesus, right now, I ask for you to move. Jesus, I thank you for this sweet invitation of grace. And I pray right now that we would accept it and that we would fulfill your expectation of simply saying yes. Jesus, I know that the invitation goes out to all, but only a few are chosen. And I know the reason only a few are chosen is because we do not say yes. That you accept all who say yes to you, Jesus. So I'm praying right now that we will say yes and we will put you on and find peace. In your name, Jesus, we pray this. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you would like to learn more about how to give to God through The Rock, you can find that information on our app or on our website. Another way that you can give to us is simply by subscribing to this podcast, rating it, telling your friends about it. All those things are super helpful. We hope you have a great week.